good. Cleared your throat?
Yeah, I might need some coffee though because I'm super tired. Or is that your smile saying that we're recording? Okay, cool.
Are you only... Never mind.
What?
Nothing. No, I'm just thinking to myself. What are we doing?
You're
what
just talking about? Out loud.
I'm thinking to myself out loud.
Ed Sheeran, everybody. All right. So, hello, everyone. Welcome back. Hopefully you've been enjoying our podcast. I don't know. I think it's going pretty good so far.
I guess. Define good.
Define good. Well, that's okay. So, I have a couple of announcements. Follow us on Instagram, /your movie review, all lowercase, all one word. That was more difficult saying that.
Do you want me to quit looking at you? Because yeah. I feel like that's making you like anxious.
And then we've had a lot of questions about where to find these movies that we're going over. I have an app on my phone, and it's called the Just Watch app. It was introduced to me by a coworker, and you can just like punch in whatever movie you're looking for, and it'll show what streaming device it's located on. Because I think like places are kind of going the way of the dodo.
Yeah, I've been using Tubi a lot, just because it's free. I mean, yeah. There's commercials, but the commercials aren't bad.
No.
There's just like a couple commercial breaks. They're long breaks, but there's only a couple. So it's really not too big of a deal. And I kind of forget what it's like to watch anything with commercials.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's super weird. Yeah. When I was watching Bloody Birthday on it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That Bloody Birthday is on Tubi.
It was weird seeing the commercials.
Meh.
Because Netflix and stuff doesn't have it.
Okay, am I starting this one?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, so my pick is Bloody Birthday. It came out in 1981. There was a limited theater release, and then it went to VHS in 1986. Did I say 1981 or 1991? I don't know what I'm saying.
That's okay.
Anyway.
Just keep going.
It came out in the theaters, limited, and then went straight to video 5 years later. Didn't write a lot about the budget or any of the expenses because I couldn't really find anything.
Yeah.
The cast, the only two that I wrote anything for was Debbie, played by Elizabeth Hoyt, and she was in Blues Brothers.
Yeah,
she's the little girl at the restaurant that they're hassling.
Yes.
And then the doctor who kind of has a bit part, like he's not, I wouldn't call him like a main character. Mm-hmm. His name is Jose Ferrer.
Just try it.
Yeah. Jose Ferrer. Yeah, that sounds right. And he was in over 100 films. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I didn't really recognize him, but he was in all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's really descriptive. He was in all kinds of stuff.
Well, I'll look him up after this.
The producer also produced Dumb and Dumber and was a production manager for Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Ooh,
that's just some fun facts. So to get to it, Bloody Birthday. It's about three kids in the same town. They're all born on the same day during a solar eclipse. When their 10th birthday rolls around, they start killing people.
Why? Why is it their 10th birthday?
I'm not like sure.
I wrote that down because I was like, why all of a sudden start with all of the killing?
I did find a cool thing because they were born on like during a solar eclipse in California in 1970. There was a solar eclipse that year.
That's awesome.
But it was like a month earlier, and it went from like southern Mexico kind of diagonal up through Florida and up the East Coast. So I kind of wonder if the eclipse happened, and then that's what gave someone the idea for the film. Maybe. I don't know. That could be it.
That would be pretty cool.
That was a fun fact. And even if it would have been on the same day, yeah, they weren't in like the main path of totality where it's like complete darkness like it was in the film.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting fact.
That was pretty interesting.
So there was. I liked it. Well, I wanted to know, like, is that a real thing? Like, was there a solar eclipse? Well, there's no Meadowvale, California, anyway.
Yeah.
What I did recognize, too, I don't know if I wrote it down. Of course. Oh, yeah, I did write it down. So it was filmed in Glendale, California. And I thought the streets kind of looked the same. Or they looked familiar. And it was filmed within like 10 miles of Halloween.
I wrote that in my notes.
Did you really? This
totally excites me. Okay, so when they were, when the Joyce and Beverly, the two sisters, like the older high school sisters, were walking down the street, it totally reminded me of that scene in Halloween.
Did you look it up too?
I didn't look it up, but yeah. I was like, holy shit.
It was, so Bloody Birthday was filmed in Glendale and Halloween was filmed in South Pasadena.
That's cool.
So they're close together.
I also want to comment on the opening music because it's very pleasant and it reminded me of like an after school special. That's, it was oddly pleasant.
Because that's, so Joyce is is like the main character in it. Mm-hmm. She's, her younger brother is getting harassed by these like three devil children.
Timmy is Joyce's brother.
Timmy is Joyce's mm-hmm. brother, thanks. So she reminds me of like someone that would have been on PBS in like the 80s. Like she would have been on Sesame Street or something.
Or like that show with the chest of clothes and the girl like goes in the chest of clothes and comes out and it's like wasn't medieval that... times.
What?
Don't you remember? Like it was like not The Big Comfy Couch. Not that show. But it was this woman or this girl had this chest of clothes and she would like dress up and then be transported to that time period.
I vaguely remember that.
But she looks like she could definitely have been in that show.
She just looked, I don't know, very classic 80s. Like she could have been in a Penny's catalog.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Where, what are we talking about? We haven't even started talking about
the movie. We haven't even started talking about the movie, but that's, you know, that's all right.
Okay.
We'll get there.
So it comes up later that these three kids that were born during eclipse are like soulless kind of because I thought it was going to be more like supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
But it really wasn't. And if you had a, if there were three kids, they're all born during an eclipse. They all go to the same school together.
They're all assholes.
They're all assholes. If they're soulless, like, wouldn't you notice that when they were, like, 4 or 5?
Something had to have, like, switched. Like, I don't know what it is, but...
Like, they were normal kids, and then all of a sudden maybe. They, like, turned horrible?
Maybe. Because it was all of a sudden, within, like, a 3-day time period, like, 10 people in the town die.
I know.
Like, and where are the parents? Where are the parents? I think, well, Debbie's parents are around, like mm-hmm. the girl's parents. Who else was it? Steven's parents you never see. And then Curtis has the glasses, and I think he lives with his grandparents. But he's, like, walking around in the middle of the night with a with revolver. Where are the police? Where are their parents? I just, the whole thing is,
well, okay,
weird.
So, in the beginning, it starts out with these two people, and they're like making out in a graveyard. And
who makes out in a graveyard?
Well, I mean, I'm sure people do.
I'm sure people do too. But
anyway, the girl is worried that they're gonna get caught. So the guy's like, okay, let's hop into this open grave,
right?
No. No. Plus, I think you'd be more likely to get caught because you wouldn't be able to see anyone coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're just like, let's climb into this grave. How are they going to get out of there? It's deep.
Well.
I mean, they don't get out of
there. They don't get out of there, but.
So then the kids, you don't see which kids they are or anything. The kids attack. The guy gets hit in the head with a shovel.
Twice.
And then. Falls down dead.
Right.
How hard can a 10-year-old swing a shovel?
I have so many issues with this movie.
Also, so the girl, they like lasso her neck with a jump rope and then choke her out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They make, it's like the rope pulls on her neck for 2 seconds is more than one kid pulling her up because she's got to be over 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And she's 6 feet down in this hole. Well, not 6 feet down, but you know.
She's 6 feet under.
So they like lasso her neck. So it had to be two of the kids pulling her up.
Yeah.
And she like scratches at her neck for like 5 seconds and then falls down dead.
I don't have answers.
Did they break her neck? No, probably not.
I don't think so. Like, I think just for movie sake.
So the, maybe, well, they both fall down dead in the grave and then they throw some dirt on them, but not enough dirt where they couldn't be found.
No, and how did they get found?
Oh, well, they probably like, dug the maintenance grave guy or... like the day before a funeral.
Yeah. And then.
And so, ooh, the day of the funeral, they find.
Two more dead bodies.
Two
ooh.
Bodies down in the hole.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And then, so Timmy, who's Joyce's younger brother, not related to the devil children, he, like, climbs in through the window, and Joyce is like, where were you? What the hell? Blah, blah, blah. And Timmy apparently was out trying to find Debbie. And originally, I thought that he was one of the siblings.
No, he was feeding the dog. He said he was out feeding the dog.
I didn't buy it. I mean, later on, you know, like, what he was
Which,
doing.
Which, the dog and that, too, you see it one like once and it's in the front yard.
Yeah.
But when all this chaos is happening, where's the dog?
Chaos doesn't happen at their house, though. It happens but at like, Debbie's.
But, like, the boyfriend at towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
Joyce's boyfriend shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I want to know, he had his finals left,
yeah,
is what they said. Like, oh, he's in college, he has his finals left, yeah. And he's like, I couldn't make it through finals, I had to see you. Really?
That's not how college works.
No. He like, bails.
Sure, you need
I'm
to
gonna go for the whole semester and then just not take my finals. Yeah. Anyway,
so they go back to school the next day, and word gets out that these two people died in the cemetery, and then the teacher, Mrs. Davis, I want to say.
Sure.
The teacher's going over stuff with a police officer and whatever. And so then the three devil children, I'm just going to call them devil children because that's what they are.
In the last one we did, we called Leon, the main character, Bradley Cooper the whole time.
Rightly so. So the devil children, it's Friday, I'm thinking. Yeah, Friday afternoon. They go up and they ask Mrs. Davis if they cannot have homework on Monday because they have their birthday party Monday night. Mrs. Davis, obviously, she's a teacher. She thinks that's preposterous and is like, no. So then you see.
So that puts her on, like, the kill list.
That puts her on the kill list just for telling them, no, they have to have homework. That instance right there.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And Debbie, like, carries around this scrapbook with all of the people.
It's her ultimate burn book.
It's her. It is too. She like glues people's pictures in there that are going to die.
And that have died. Yeah. So they all kind of like look at each other too because the sheriff or whatever comes in and he held up.
Who's Debbie's dad?
Yeah. Debbie's dad. And Bev. Right?
Beverly, yep.
Beverly is the older sister who's friends with Joyce. They bring in, like, the handle of the jump rope, and he asks, like, oh, does anyone know where
he
this came
know
from?
Know it was his kid's jump rope?
I don't... Do you know what all your kids' toys are?
No.
Exactly.
That's true. Good point.
I'd recognize that jump rope handle
I'd
anywhere.
I'd recognize that Lego.
Yeah. No. But then the kids, like, all suspiciously look at each other. Like, nobody
like that
noticed
wasn't,
that?
Yeah. That wasn't noticed
they
by
all, like,
anybody.
Creepy. And Debbie looks like a little angel. Like, she doesn't look like she'd ever do anything wrong.
I don't like her. She's the worst. She is the worst.
No, she's not Judy.
Oh, God, Judy.
Maybe she would grow up to be a Judy, though.
I really think so.
In a few years.
Yeah, but she would be the one, like, killing everybody.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm at in my notes. Because I skipped that whole classroom thing for some reason. It must not have... Well, I mean, I remember it, but...
That's okay.
So, okay, they...
That evening, they go home.
Yeah, they go home. I don't know why I'm so flustered. That's okay. Probably because I didn't do anything all day. I just laid there like a tomato.
Like a tomato?
Yeah.
Well.
Not quite a potato.
Some days you got to be a potato or a tomato.
Okay, so that like afternoon, whatever, after school, Debbie calls her dad to come outside, the sheriff, and...
God, what a bitch.
Yeah, first they put a skateboard on the steps, like thinking that's going to take him out. Well, he walks around the skateboard and you can see the disappointment in Debbie's face, which I don't know how she could do that. I mean, it's one thing to be soulless and go around killing people, but to like take out your own dad.
Your family.
Yeah. So she shows him the jump rope and he's like, what's this? Well, then which one of the boys? One of the boys comes up and just whacks him a couple times.
It's Curtis. Oh, no, it's the blonde one. It's Steven.
Yeah, I couldn't remember which one.
Whatever.
But anyway, they whack him a couple times with a baseball bat.
And it's really only a couple times, and then he goes down and is dead.
Yeah. And then they move him over to the stairs and act like it's this big accident that he slipped on the
stairs. Timmy catches them, though. But he doesn't. Think anything is weird because all of the kids are standing around Officer Brody.
Yeah.
And he just thinks that he really fell. And the kids look at Timmy and are like, "Oh, did you see it all?" And then
yeah, that kind of gets him in their burn book.
I know, and I feel bad.
But I wrote down there's this thing called forensics. So he got hit twice with a baseball bat in the head, and then somehow they're going to say he fell down the stairs and died?
Yeah.
Like, he would have bruises on his back and, like, more of a head trauma.
And it's, like, awful. Like, Debbie's mom comes out and is like, oh, my God, and, like, freaks out.
Do you notice that her mom is the only one that's upset about any of this?
Yeah.
Everything that happens. Because, so the sheriff dies, you know, Debbie and Beverly's dad. And the next week or that weekend, they're having like a, oh, they have the funeral.
They have the funeral, I'm guessing, like Saturday. It would have to be Saturday because Monday is their birthday party.
I don't know.
It's weird. It's just weird.
No, their birthday party had to have been on a weekend. I think there was like a week in between because maybe all that stuff happens where they're chasing Timmy around.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I think that's really weird. Like, she's the only one that acts upset. Bev is just like living her life. Debbie obviously doesn't care.
Beverly was like up in her room with her boyfriend, like crying. And then they made out. Like, she was upset and then they made out.
And, I mean, other murders happen. And yeah, then they just have a birthday party. Like, it's a big birthday party where they have, like, 5 full-size sheet cakes. No, you're not going to go through that much cake.
No.
If I have, like, a quarter sheet cake and I have 30 people at my house, there's still cake left over.
Yeah. Well, not everybody likes cake.
Well, apparently in this, everyone loved cake because they're like, bring out another cake. We're running out. Bring out another cake. Like, are you fucking for real? And then it has everyone standing around eating these, like, kind of disgustingly big pieces.
Yeah.
Like.
That's not realistic. None of this is very realistic, which is so weird.
Weird, right?
We haven't touched on the fact that Debbie has a hole in her closet where she charges boys to come in and watch her sister undress.
Yeah, which is so unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, and who wouldn't notice a big gaping hole in their closet?
Well, if Debbie had the light on in her room at night, Beverly would see it.
Yeah.
right? Like, you would think see so. A light shining in your closet.
So that really, that frustrated me because...
the hole in the closet?
The hole in the closet. Like, you would see that hole in the closet because it's big. It has to be, like, over a half dollar size.
Arrow size?
It has to be arrow size. Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was weird. Plus, like her dad just dies, but she's, like, rocking out, dancing, changing her clothes.
I thought that was before.
Oh, was it? Was it kind of right in the beginning?
I think it was before, but same night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a little weird.
Yeah, who doesn't dance topless in their room every once in a while?
I know, just long enough so that every boy in the neighborhood can peek through the hole at you.
Mm-hmm. For a quarter.
I think the one per kid pays quarter. Like a dime or something, though, doesn't he?
He pays or a quarter pays extra. And then a dime extra to continue watching. Ugh, pervs. Pervy kids.
I thought it was funny that when... Joyce and Timmy's parents are out of town. They're on vacation.
They're on vacation, and their dad has, like, a heart condition or something weird.
What?
Yeah.
Where did you hear that?
Because Timmy doesn't come home one night right away, and Joyce is like, I'm not going to tell Dad because worrying isn't good for his heart or something weird.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe his heart condition is what makes him sound like he's in the witness protection program.
He does, too.
His voice on the phone is, like, real muffled like this. Like, when they have people in, like, documentaries, like, tell their tale.
Yes.
Where they're like, just, like, the silhouette. And they have the weird voice. That's how he sounded on the phone. I thought that was really weird. Like, why can't he just sound like a regular person?
You see what he looks like, though, at the end of the movie.
What?
Because they're all standing outside.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of
I did
fits.
Watch it, I swear.
That's okay. No, it's fine. We're doing great.
Okay, so then the little psycho kids ask Timmy to come play. Timmy goes and plays in the junkyard, and they trick him into climbing into, like, a freezer, and they latch it on him. It's an old freezer, so there's, like, a big metal latch.
He absolutely could have gotten out of that, I feel like.
I mean, he did get out of it.
Yeah, but, like, earlier.
He was, like, pretty clever
earlier.
About it. Oh, before, like,
I feel
he
like
shuts the lid.
He could have just, like, kicked hard enough. Like, if he put his back on the bottom. I mean, I don't know. I've never been trapped in a freezer before.
It's Southern California, so I imagine it's hot.
Yeah. He was really sweaty.
He's really sweaty. And there was, like, a inconsistency because when he gets home... In, like, one scene, he's dirty, and then in the next scene, he's clean, and the next scene, he's dirty, so.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he, like, cleverly, like, MacGyver's his way out of the cooler, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I'm glad.
But then his sister didn't believe him.
If you were in high school, and I came home, and I was all dirty, and I was like, so-and-so locked me in a cooler, would you believe me?
I don't know. I think I would want to go and see the cooler that you were locked in.
Okay. I'll accept that.
Because I wouldn't be like, you're full of shit. But he does, like, I think he, like, fibs to her, like, why he's
earlier.
Getting home late. Yeah. So he probably isn't, like, super truthful with what he's up to.
Well, because she didn't believe him about him feeding the dog at night.
Yeah. And he was supposed to come right home, and the bad kids... wrote a note and put it on the door that said that he was playing.
Yeah.
And so she got all pissed about that.
And do they write a note again saying, I'm playing in the junkyard? And she goes to the junkyard.
Oh, that's the second time.
Okay.
Because that's when the kids start a car in the junkyard because there's so many running cars in junkyards. And chase her around with it.
They chase her around with it, and then the cop shows up, or the other one police officer that they have in town show up, and they don't believe her.
And what's funny is...
Again, cops don't believe anybody.
This is like jumping ahead, but when the cops show up and they like take Joyce home,
yeah,
on the radio it says there's a call from Cookie Lamar.
What the hell? Cookie Lamar.
And then we have an expletive deleted subject that was from the mayor on the radio.
What was that?
I don't know.
God, I need to know.
Okay, so he's locked in the freezer, gets out. That's like kind of a big part of it. And then, the 80s, bringing gun replicas to school.
Yes. So the glasses kid, I keep referencing my notes because I made like little, Curtis brings a replica gun to school frequently.
Yeah, and then, just waves it around at school.
But while dad would tell us stories about the gun club meeting at night and guys walking, but that was like in the 60s.
And that's after school. That was like an extracurricular thing. That wasn't like...
God, can you imagine now?
Oh, he would never be allowed back in public school.
No. And I was thinking about this too during watching this movie. The outdoor environmental class doing hunter safety and stuff in school, like in school, I don't think would fly either with a BB gun. Mm-hmm. Remember when we would have to shoot at the targets?
With a BB gun?
In school, yeah.
I had hunter safety and I didn't have to do that.
Well,
I had hunter safety and
we had an airsoft gun or something.
We didn't do anything like that in school. That was after school. We took like a gun test.
Hmm.
At our house.
Oh.
Like, dad had the class come over.
Like, I think he did something like that. But I remember, like, shooting an airsoft gun or something in school, like, at a target. Like, at the front of his classroom.
I have no idea.
Yeah. But anyway, times have changed.
Anyway, nowadays you cannot bring a replica revolver to school with you. The teacher even says, like, oh, if you bring that again, I'm taking it away.
And then she gets shot.
Yeah, and then she gets shot in the back.
There would be so much more blood.
And it was really dramatic. I've said this on, like, every single one of these. True crime. She gets shot in the back and just immediately, like, slumps dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not every bullet that hits you is going to kill you.
And I don't know if that one would have actually killed her. Because she only gets shot once.
And it's kind of like in her shoulder. It's kind of up high.
Yeah. But we're not...
I don't know.
Forensic people. We're not professionals, so I guess maybe...
I don't know, but she did just like slump and die. And then another thing comes up with that. How do they prop her upright in the closet?
Because she is 100% upright in the closet. Enough for when Joyce goes to open the closet. Because Joyce is like her teacher aide. She's an aide or something. Joyce goes and opens the closet. And she just like falls on her.
No.
Yeah. And the one kid, Steven, one of the bad kids, is in the closet, like, with the gun pointing it at Joyce. And I think he would have shot her had she stayed in there longer.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He wanted to shoot her, too.
Yeah.
She hasn't, like, done anything bad to them.
No. I think it doesn't really matter if they've done anything bad.
Oh, yeah, because there's the people making out in the van, too.
They're, like, doing it in the van.
Yeah. She kind of looks like Renee Zellweger before Renee Zellweger had plastic surgery.
Yeah. I'll agree to that.
And so, Curtis, not the blonde one, the other one?
Glasses. Mm-hmm.
So, when those people die, he just, like, sees them making out or doing it in the van. And he jumps on the bumper to look in the front window. You wouldn't notice if somebody jumped on the front bumper of your vehicle?
Well, and this was after, like, he's walking around the neighborhood with this gun. And he is standing in the backyard looking into Timmy's yard. And Timmy and some other girl are playing
catch. I don't know if that's Timmy or not. And that was, like, another thing because there's the one kid and he's wearing, like, a yellow like softball shirt, yeah, or like baseball shirt, like, yep, 3/4 sleeve. And then there's another one that's wearing a yellow polo, and they both have the same haircut. But I think the one that was playing with the little girl outside their house is younger.
Okay.
Because that's also the one that gets beat up in the alley.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're, like, choking him with the hose.
That kid?
I think that's the same.
Timmy.
That wasn't Timmy.
Timmy is the one that is getting choked in the alley with a hose. Absolutely.
Then who is the kid playing with the little girl?
Maybe just a random playing in the yard.
I don't know. They had the same color shirt and the same haircut.
Yeah.
And I didn't look at the credits well enough to know if they were two different people.
That's okay. Because when Timmy is getting strangled with the hose, Joyce comes running out and is like, "Get off of him." And Debbie is just like, "I told him not to do this and they did it anyway."
But that's, I thought, like, the kid, the just end of the movie. I thought he just gets up and runs away though.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No.
Oh, whatever.
It's okay.
I really invested a lot in this.
People listening to this are going to be like, "Ooh."
I don't understand too. So the Curtis did have a fake gun that he'd been taking to school.
He did. He swapped it with
Debbie's dad's, mm-hmm, like, police gun.
Yeah.
What I want to know is why that had to be such a big thing, because he, like, snuck into the house at night.
Yeah.
And Debbie, like, met up with him. Made sure
everybody was asleep.
Made sure the coast was clear, and then they swapped out the guns, and then he left again. Why didn't she just take the fake gun?
I'm thinking she tries. She's, like, the ringleader.
She does. She kind of, like, entraps them on a few occasions.
I think she is just the onlooker while they do all of the
things.
And
she looks so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So she can easily be like, "Oh, I didn't know."
Curtis looks like a douchebag, and I hate him. Like, he really does. He looks like he's going to grow up and be one of those asshole guys in college that everybody hates.
But
they think they're really cool.
That's true. Like, he does kind of look like that. The other one,
the blonde one,
yeah,
Steven.
He's so blonde.
He's super blonde. But so is Debbie. Debbie has super blonde hair.
That's true. I wonder, they should have made the kids look more alike.
So that they yeah.
Oh, that's a different movie. What's the one with
Children of the Corn?
Not Children of the Corn. It's all the kids in the town, and they're, like, super white hair.
Mm-hmm. And they have their, like, their eyes glow.
Yeah.
What is that movie?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Mike, what's that movie?
All I remember is when they go to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor puts the wrong drops in the kids' eyes, and it burns, and then they make...
Village of the Damned.
Yes. And then they make the eye doctor, they, like, brain control the eye doctor and make him, like, poke out his eyes or something.
Yes.
That could be totally wrong. He has to hurt his own eyes. I remember that. He does something to, like, blind himself.
Because that movie is referenced in, like, a ton of pop culture stuff.
Well, because they of do all a of bit.
The Simpsons,
yeah,
I
the
think.
Simpsons Treehouse, mm-hmm, of Horror.
Yes. We should talk about the bow and arrow scene now. I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but I feel like that needs to be talked about.
It's because I mentioned it in one of the other ones. Yeah. I mentioned it in Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a normal closet, not a walk-in.
No.
And
this is Debbie's closet, by the way.
Yes. Debbie's closet with a little peephole. It looks into her sister's room. Well, she somehow draws a bow in the closet where there would not be enough. Is that the proper term, drawing a bow? Yeah? Yep. You watch, okay, Arrow, so you would know.
You watch Arrow. That's where we get all of our bow and arrow information, is watching, yeah, Arrow.
So she, like, draws the bow in the closet and somehow manages to shoot her sister.
With enough force for the arrow to, like, go through her head.
Yeah. Because Bev kind of, that's when she finds the peephole, right?
Joyce tells her about it at the party.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, she hears Debbie being weird over there. She like goes to look through the people and gets shot in the face.
Yeah.
But the arrow comes straight out of the hole, and it would have had to come out at an angle because Debbie would have had to have been outside of the closet drawing the bow to shoot through that little hole.
Yeah.
So it would have shot into, like, not.
I mean, a lot of these kills are very unrealistic. But for the time, I'm sure it was like, oh, my God, bow and arrow through the skull.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was cool. And then for Debbie to go in and, like, put a towel under her head so that she didn't bleed onto the floor.
There would be so much blood. I feel like in Midnight Meat Train, there was so much blood. And then we come to Bloody Birthday, where there isn't really a lot of blood.
Well, the idea of Bloody Birthday, like, when I read about it, I thought, oh, this is going to be so cool. There's going to be these, like, demon kids.
I mean, it was good. Yeah, it was a good movie.
But I think there just could have been more.
There could have been more killing.
Yeah, there could have been way more killing.
Yeah. And so Debbie comes in and, like, puts a towel underneath Beverly's head. And then she calls her friends, like, the two other kids to come over and, like, help clean it up. And then she's, like, scrubbing the floor afterwards. And her mom comes in and she's like, oh, I just spilled nail polish. Where's your other daughter? Where's your other daughter? Did she just disappear?
I don't know.
Like, what the hell? And then Beverly is found, like, a few hours later dead in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when Debbie's mom kind of has a mental breakdown and winds up in a psych hospital, like,
yeah,
overnight.
She checks herself in.
Yeah, because dad and firstborn daughter is dead. So, yeah. And then even after all of this, Debbie calls Joyce and is like, Joyce, can you come over and watch me? Because my mom had to go to see a shrink or something. And Joyce is just like, sure, Debbie.
Well, it's because Debbie is still kind of the innocent one.
Yeah.
Like, her mom found her burn book, right? And
yeah.
checked it. Or no, Bev found it?
Beverly found it. And then Debbie blamed Curtis.
Yeah. So, I don't, like, that's the point where, like, Debbie and Bev's mom is the only person acting sad.
Yeah.
Like, she's upset about it.
Yeah.
And she says, chuck in the fire immediately.
Yeah. I think Beverly burns it in the fireplace.
Yeah. So, like, you don't really know that that Deb is bad. It never, you know, she didn't have anything to do with the shootings.
No, but she tries to shove Timmy out of the treehouse at one point.
Well, she never actually shoved him. She was thinking about it, and she was behind him. So, like, yeah, like, she's bad, but she's not the one.
She's not the one, like, acting out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And, like, when Timmy got locked in the cooler.
That was with the boys.
Mm-hmm. So for Joyce to get the call, like, hey, can you come watch me? Sure, no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And she specifically, like, Debbie specifically asks for Joyce and Timmy to come over. But I guess Timmy is younger, so he would probably go with Joyce anyway. And then Curtis rigs the house because at Debbie's house, they have a security system.
Yeah, Global Burglar Alarm Service, which is not a real company.
How did you find that?
It said it on the thing.
That's
cool. It said it on the box.
So it was, they have an alarm system, I'm guessing because her dad was a sheriff and stuff. And,
yeah.
And bulletproof glass on the house too. Weird.
Which is weird because it doesn't appear to be a high crime area.
No, it's like small town USA. Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever.
Bulletproof glass and like a sweet
state of the art security system. And so they come over and everything, and then Curtis and Steven come over, and trouble ensues.
Well, like, what I don't understand is, okay, so Joyce has headphones on.
Yeah.
And is Timmy sleeping? Or is he just
Timmy is sleeping, and Timmy kind of wakes up to...
He wakes up at, like, the last second when he's like, Joyce, duck, because you're going to get shot otherwise.
Yeah.
But how... It seems like you would hear someone come in.
Yeah.
But then again, it's not their house, so they might not be used to, like, the same noises.
Right.
I don't know.
But yeah, so Curtis is the gunslinger in this and tries to shoot Timmy and Joyce, misses horribly, which, I mean, what do you expect from a 10-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to count the shots.
You wanted to pull a dad?
I wanted to pull a dad and count the shots to see if that gun, if that was accurate. I think it is because he reloads twice.
Oh, he does reload?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I said, why don't they just wait until he runs out of ammo and then beat them up? They're only fucking 10.
And they do.
No.
They do that.
Like, but I wrote it down as I was watching it. Like, why?
Why is this a thing? Yeah.
Why is this a thing?
And
the kid is not a good shot.
No.
He's shooting up everything.
Punch him in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, if a shovel with two hits can kill you, then a punch in the face would just...
Yeah. Or getting shot in the shoulder blade can just, like, drop you. Right.
But Debbie, like, tries to choke Joyce. And this is, even after everything, I was like, okay, maybe a 10-year-old has some type of strength, whatever.
Yeah.
But Debbie tries to strangle Joyce, and it almost succeeds.
Yeah.
In it. And I'm like, Joyce looks to be like a pretty fit high schooler.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old kid. Get out of here.
And Joyce has to be like 17 or 18 because she tells her boyfriend that she, well, she tells him she's not going to go to college.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because I thought that was pretty.
To be an astrologist?
Maybe. Yeah. It was kind of inconsistent because I'm like, why are they having this big heart-to-heart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why? How is that relevant to the film that she's not going to go to college and that she's going to, like, go and do her own thing? She wants to be a journalist.
Oh.
Or a reporter or something like that.
I don't remember that, but I trust you.
Yeah, her and her boyfriend are, like, hanging out when he ditches his finals.
I mean, whatever you gotta do, right? But yeah, so they end up like hog tying Curtis. Debbie tries to shoot them with arrows again through the wall. Silly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steven, they throw in a trunk. And Debbie ends up like running out of the house. Like once the security system is botched or whatever, Debbie ends up running out of the house and she stumbles upon a vehicle that has her mom in it. And her mom is like, Debbie, what's going on? And Debbie was like, Joyce or the boys did something really bad and Joyce is going to blame me for it too. So the mom just like turns around.
Okay, the mom has been through some like hardcore emotional shit though.
Yeah.
Her husband dies and then like within a week her daughter dies, her oldest daughter.
Yeah, I think she might be at that like mental.
And she committed herself.
And then they just let her go. Same day.
I don't know. I think it's funny though, like, so they take off and Joyce tells Timmy, like, go tell the Wilsons, people that live across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in,
wouldn't
like,
they hear the gunshots?
Yeah.
Is that what you were going for?
That's what I was going for. Because they're in like a kind of quiet residential area. And it was really loud.
I know. Sorry. Just cracked my knuckles.
They're in this quiet residential area. It's summer, or at least warm out, where people would probably have their windows and stuff open.
Yeah.
And there's like 15 shots coming from this house. Like.
At night, too.
Yeah, at night.
Not that that really makes a difference.
So the people are just going to like ignore it and not call the police?
Yeah. I don't know. There are a lot of inconsistencies in this 1988 movie about devil children.
1981.
Is it 1981?
I don't know. I think so. I think Mike was making fun of me because I said that a few times, because when I searched Bloody Birthday, like a bunch of random crap popped up.
I think it is 1981 now that.
And I said it a bunch last time and Mike was like, oh, 1981.
Oh.
He had to put in his.
Sassy.
Yeah, he had to be sassy to me. So they run away. The mom and Debbie get away. And then they're at this gas station, like the very end scene in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're at a gas station and the mom's basically like, you're going to be good, right? And she's like, yeah, I'll be a good girl. And then I think she's playing with like a Jax, like a Jack.
Yeah.
And then it pans out. I don't know if they drive away or what, but then kind of behind the gas station, there was a guy that had been working on his car and the car had like fallen and smashed him.
Yeah. That was gross. I think that was the grossest one.
Because
you see it. I mean.
It was, yeah. His head was kind of like mangled up.
Yeah.
I want to know what is going to happen to the two boys.
I mean, they're kids, so I don't know. I don't know the law.
I don't know either. But I thought, like, she just bails on him. But, like, what is the mom going to do for money, or, like, what's going to happen with that? And they set it up where there could have been a bunch of films after.
Were there any sequels?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
But it would have been perfect. I mean, all the bad kids were still alive.
Yeah, because the two kids wind up like going to jail. Like they show him going into the back of a cop car, and Curtis like looks over to Joyce and gives that creepy little frat guy crooked smile that I just want to punch. I really though. But yeah, that's when you see Joyce and Timmy's parents.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I didn't have like. I mean, some of the information that I found was cool, but, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not into it right now, I think.
I liked this movie.
I liked it, too. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It came recommended from Greg because it was one that he saw when he was younger, and he kind of wanted to, like, rewatch it. And we'd actually watched this probably, like, a week before we came up with the idea for this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it because it does really remind me of Halloween, like the first Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kills and stuff were pretty similar.
Yeah.
As far as like blood and stuff, because there wasn't a lot of blood in the original Halloween either.
It wasn't super bloody. I can't remember when the original Halloween came out, but I imagine it's within 5 years.
Yeah.
So the clothes and everything were the same too.
Yep. But yeah, overall, I liked it.
I liked it too.
I would probably like watch it again because it's one of those movies that you can just sit down and put in and
kind of pay attention to it. But like once you've watched it once, you kind of know what's going to happen. It's not like there's any big jaw droppers or anything.
Yeah.
What are we doing next?
We are doing my favorite scary movie. It's my all-time favorite. The Possession of Michael King.
Ooh.
I rewatched it last night and it terrified me.
I also, did I watch it last night?
You watched it like a couple nights ago.
Maybe 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how scary it was.
Yeah, and I'll go more into detail like at the beginning, but there is a couple trigger warnings that I kind of want to go over at the beginning.
You could just say, you could like name the 2 points and just be like, if this is going to make you uncomfortable, fast forward through it.
Yeah, because it's only like a couple minutes, but.
And they're not. It's less than a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And they're not like important to the film at all, I don't think.
Not really.
No. You can easily miss them and you're not like missing out on anything.
Yeah.
But okay.
All right. That's it from us. The next movie will be The Possession of Michael King.
Woohoo!
Woo! Okay, bye.
Bye.